Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
I'm here. My name is Gary Parish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Benny Dole's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can.
Well, Daddy lost most everything on horse, whiskey, and Wendy's.
I hope you didn't let Big Bet Bennett talk you into taking Lakers minus two.
Yeah, man. What a...
You're walking us into some bad stuff every night.
It's been really bad. I got a hit tonight. Tonight is important for listeners, for me, for everybody.
Looking forward to your Clippers-Mavericks pick. Because you've walked us into some bad stuff past two nights.
I mean, listen, I'm walking myself into it, too. I'm with everyone on
trying
this.
To stand with you shoulder to shoulder, but you're making it difficult. Yeah. You're making it difficult. Yeah. We lost our king last night.
Ugh.
We lost our king last night.
We did.
We'll talk about it momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon schedule for you. 4:20, Dan Wolkin's going to join me, National Columnist, USA Today. I'll talk to him about a number of things, including his Atlanta Hawks, led by Bennett's favorite player, Trae Young. They might be headed to the Eastern Conference Finals if Joel Embiid's not going to be healthy enough to be a difference maker. Dan Wolkin will be here in the next segment. When I finish it, I'll take a break, come back. Do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point I'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, the Grizzlies met with the media earlier today. Jaren Jackson Jr., Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks, Jonas Valanciunas, Justice Winslow. I'll tell you the most interesting things that came out of that. We'll do it around 4:44. Bryson DeChambeau is playing in a professional golf tournament today. Some fans have taken to calling him Brooksy, in reference to Brooks Koepka, who hates Bryson DeChambeau and his guts. And Bryson DeChambeau is having these fans kicked out of the tournament. Is that insane or is that insane?
It's insane.
How in the sports world is it okay for 20,000 people to chant F Trae Young? That's cool. And Trae just takes a bow after he eliminates them. But if you call Bryson DeChambeau Brooks Koepka, you got to leave the golf course? Seems ridiculous. We'll get into that a little later on this hour. Scary moment in minor league baseball last night. A pitcher took a line drive to the head and started convulsing on the mound. Did you see this?
No.
Dude.
I might have to find a video.
Ooh, you'd be, make sure you want to see it before you see it. The pitcher is reportedly in stable condition, but it was terrifying if you saw the video before you hear it, before you heard how he is. We'll talk a little bit about that just before 5 o'clock. And a high-profile boxing match is on tap for Sunday night. Floyd Mayweather back in the ring. The match will have no official winner, no matter what happens, which seems kind of weird for a competition, but whatever. I don't make the rules. We'll talk about it during four notable stories, 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Cogley, just like always. Then I'll eventually do a dinner to go. I got a Dateline preview. Oh, boy, Bennett.
Is this a good one?
We got a good one.
Okay. We got a nice little roll lately.
This is a good one. I read all about it
good
last night and then reread it this morning. I know everything about it. I'm going to preview Dateline for you, and then I'll ruin it. I'll spoil it for you. But you will know more about this Dateline episode heading into it than 99.9% of other Americans throughout this country. So you're welcome. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to. But I did want to start with some sad, depressing, disappointing news from the NBA playoffs. We lost our king last night. Big Bet Bennett, we lost our king last night.
You know, I think we're probably a little more beat up about it than he is. He didn't seem too bothered by it in his post-game presser.
We lost our king last night.
I'll miss you, King.
Final score inside Staples Center. Suns 113, Lakers 100. So Phoenix wins the best of seven series, 4-2, and advances to play the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference semifinals, which means we didn't only lose our king last night. We also lost Dame Time.
Yeah, that's brutal. I did not want to lose both of those guys.
Not a great Thursday night for the NBA.
Not a great Thursday night.
To lose LeBron and Dame within hours of each other. Now, keep in mind, we lost LeBron and Dame. Terry Stotts might have lost his job. So, we're doing better than him.
Yeah, I think that's probably likely.
But it's not a great night for the NBA when you lose the King and Damian Lillard on the same night. But suffice to say, given the circumstances at least, the better team did win each series. And by circumstances, at least in the LA Phoenix series, what I mean is that Anthony Davis could barely walk.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this yesterday. And what did I tell you? I said, after Charles Barkley called Anthony Davis street clothes for sitting out Tuesday night, there was no chance he'd sit out again last night, even if he couldn't play. I told you he was likely still not healthy enough to play, but he'd at least put that uniform on, start the game, hobble up and down the court, and then they pulled him out. And that's what happened. It was clear in the first minute that Anthony Davis could not play.
Yes.
And after 5 minutes and 25 seconds, he was pulled from the game. Obviously, he never returned. And it was hilarious at halftime. Hilarious, but also kind of like, come on, man. So they go to studio down in Atlanta. It's Kenny and Shaq and Charles. And Chuck's on TV saying, I don't know why AD was even out there. Like, you don't know why he was out there?
Because of you.
I know why he was out there. Because of you. He was out there because of you.
Yes.
You called that man street clothes on national television during game five. No way he was going to wear street clothes again. Just 2 nights after that? After you nicknamed him street clothes, you think you're going to wear street clothes again? No chance.
No.
Anthony Davis is human. He's got two eyes, two ears, one eyebrow. But with those eyes, he sees what you say. With those ears, he hears what you say. He read and heard all of it. And you can't call a man soft. I guess this is where I'm bothered by it, to the extent that I'm bothered by it at all. You can't one night call a man soft, nickname him street clothes, for not playing, then act confused when he tries to play, just so you won't call him soft again. Like, it's one thing when some random media member is goofing on you. But when you're Anthony Davis, this is the playoffs, and Charles Barkley's on TNT calling you street clothes, that bothers you.
Yeah.
Now, AD denied that last night, but, and I say this as respectfully as I can say it, he was lying. He knew he couldn't play, but he wanted to get out on the court and show the world, I can't really move. And then Coach Vogel, take me out whenever you've seen enough. And at least they won't call me street clothes again.
Right.
At least they'll see that I couldn't play. And he couldn't play. Here's the truth. Anthony Davis was too injured to play on Tuesday, and he was too injured to play last night. And if there were a game seven this weekend, he'd be too injured to play in that one. You can't just play through the injury that he has. You can't just tough it out. That's everybody's go-to. Well, you think he can tough it out? You can't move. I don't care how tough you are.
Right.
You can't move. So that was the early storyline. Ooh, Anthony Davis is playing. Oh, wow. He shouldn't be playing. Like I tweeted last night. I knew that he wouldn't be in street clothes after Charles called him street clothes, but he needed to be in street clothes. No need for him to wear a uniform last night. Couldn't play. And without him, the Lakers just were not going to win that game. They never led at any point. They trailed by as many as 29, and they ultimately lost it by 13. LeBron James finished with 29 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists. And it was pretty obvious, either because of age or injury, or most likely a combination of the two, he couldn't go big when it was time to go big. You know, Chris Haynes reported last night that LeBron was somewhere around 85%. And the high ankle sprain that he suffered and sidelined him for a while kept him from penetrating and attacking the way he normally would. Like a younger, healthy version of LeBron last night, under those circumstances, would have done a 35-point triple-double out of necessity. We've seen that before. But this older, unhealthy version of LeBron with a whatever supporting cast just couldn't do it. Like, he just couldn't do it. So, at the age of 36 years old, LeBron James has been eliminated from the playoffs in the first round for the first time in his career. And if you hear me or anybody say that and think, ha, 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 your king lost in the first round, then you are a next-level dum-dum. Because it is not crazy or embarrassing or surprising that a 36-year-old unhealthy LeBron without his best teammate would lose to the number two seed in the West. What's crazy is that this 17-time All-Star, four-time MVP, four-time world champion, a man who has guided a team to 10 appearances in the NBA Finals, had never lost in the first round until he was 36 years old, injured, and without his best teammate. That's what's crazy. What happened last night? Not crazy. What's crazy is it took till last night for this to ever happen to this guy. Michael Jordan lost 3 times in the first round of the playoffs, by the way. Again, it's only happened to LeBron once. And the one time it happened came when he was hobbled and his best teammate was injured. So respect your king. Respect your king.
Mm-hmm.
As bad and unfortunate as this season was for the Lakers in general, and I guess LeBron as well, by extension, here's a fact for you. This dude's still going to win a championship and defeat cartoon characters in back-to-back years in his mid-30s.
That's true.
Space Jam, set to be released July 16th. He'll be healthy by then. So will AD. The Goons, I believe that's what they're called.
Mm-hmm.
They're in big, big trouble this summer.
I think AD might be one of the Goons.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm not sure the exact plot line, but I think AD might actually be a bad guy.
Oh no.
Yeah, I think LeBron is going up in the Looney Tunes are going up against these other NBA players that are going to be in the film.
What a plot twist.
Yeah, I could be wrong on that. Someone could correct me, but I'm pretty sure AD's a villain. I saw the picture of him. He doesn't look like, you know, good guy AD. He looks like a villain.
Oh no.
Yeah. So, just throwing that out there.
Either way, the point remains the same. Say what you want, but in back-to-back years, LeBron James in his mid-30s, your king, is going to win a world championship. He did that last year. And defeat the Goons. That's not nothing.
No. That's something.
I don't know anybody else could do it in their mid-30s.
I certainly couldn't.
I definitely couldn't.
It's hard to believe that that dude's only like 2 years older than me. He seems like he's like, you know, my dad.
because he's been nationally known for more than half of his life at this point.
Uh-huh.
You've known LeBron James for basically 20 years by now.
Yeah. I can remember seeing video clips of him in high school on Channel 1 News on the big box TVs they used to have.
They still did Channel 1 News.
Yeah, they did
Channel
1 News in high school, and they had like clips of LeBron in high school, and were like, this is the next Michael Jordan.
I used to watch Channel 1 News.
Yeah.
I remember
Channel 1, yep.
I know what's up. So the Lakers are gone, which means, by the way, both teams that played in the finals last season have been eliminated in the first round this season. Lakers and the Heat.
Yeah.
And only one team that made the conference finals last season is still alive. That's Denver. But I'll ask Dan Wolkin about this next. Because if you're the Lakers, you got to regret a little bit not making a big move at the trade deadline.
For sure. I mean, the name that stands out is Kyle Lowry.
There's reports that they could have got Kyle Lowry, but they were hesitant to give up Talen Horton-Tucker.
What?
Like he doesn't even play for you.
Excuse me?
He doesn't even play for you.
Yeah, and the Schroeder thing's been a disaster. I know he had 20 last night, but it's been bad.
And I understand, like, well, you don't want to, you know, give away young, but, like, you've got the greatest basketball player in the history of the planet. He's only got so many good years left. You have to push, at least you put me in charge of the leg. We're pushing all in on
this. Yes, yes, yes.
And then when LeBron's gone, we'll re-sign AD, bring in another. We'll figure this thing out. We ain't the Memphis Grizzlies. We don't have to hold on to our young. Like, we'll figure this out.
Right.
But let's max in the LeBron years right now. They didn't do it. They could have had three all-star level guys. Instead, they only had two. Let me tell you the best thing about having three all-star level guys in an NBA team. This is going to sound silly, but I mean it totally sincerely. If you lose one of them, you still got two. If KD, Kyrie, or James Harden went down tonight, they're not playing tonight, but you get the point, they could get through a series with just two of them. Or at least they'd have a shot. If you only got two all-star level players, LeBron and AD, and you lose one of them, you're done. You don't go get three because it's a necessity to win a championship. The Lakers did it last year with two. You could do it with two. The reason you get three, it's not the only reason, but boy, it was a pretty obvious reason as we watched the series unfold. The reason you get three is so that if you lose one, you still got two. You can still get by. When you only got two and you lose one of them and the other one's not 100% either, you got big problems. And that's why the Lakers got run off of their home court last night and eliminated earlier than most people thought they would. Dan Walken's up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike. Every single night, right? Every single fight, right? I was looking at the gram and I don't even like likes. I was screaming at my daddy, told me it ain't Christ-like. I was screaming at the referee, just like Mike. Looking for a bright light. Seagull, what your life like? Riding on a white bike, feeling like a sight fight.
Bryson DeChambeau's playing golf today on the PGA Tour. Fans have decided to start calling him Brooksy, and they are being removed from the golf course as punishment. Seems a little excessive, even for the PGA Tour. We'll get into that in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will be here a little after 5 o'clock, but right now he's a national columnist, USA Today. Stan Walken making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
So Dan, last night the Lakers were eliminated from the playoffs. That means LeBron James is out in the first round for the first time in his career. Saw you tweet about this last night. Is there any defense for the Lakers not making a big move to get a third piece at the trade deadline, because they reportedly had opportunities and just passed on them?
Yeah, I think you could look at it now maybe and say it wouldn't have mattered anyway. Like, this was just kind of one of those years where everything went wrong. LeBron got hurt for a pretty long period of time, way more than normal, and he came back and just didn't really have time to get back to 100%. Obviously, Anthony Davis had his issues, and I think it's pretty clear, like, if you didn't have a functional Anthony Davis, you probably had a bit of a ceiling on where you were going to go with this thing. But they did have opportunities, and, you know, apparently, like, they quite highly value Talen Horton Tucker and, you know, KCP, and those guys were kind of, I don't want to say untradeable, but they were just very hesitant to package those guys to try to maybe get somebody like a Kyle Lowry, who I think would have been good for them. Dennis Schroeder is another one who, you know, is going to be a restricted free agent. Like, I would have made that move. I would have tried to go get Kyle Lowry. But they didn't, and they just never were able to get it together. And so, you know, like we've seen with other teams that went deep into the playoffs last year in the bubble, maybe there was something to just not having that off season, and it just wasn't going to be meant to be this time.
So is there an obvious path forward for them? I mean, you can bring, you're going to have AD and LeBron. That's fine. But LeBron will be another year older, and I'm not sure that even healthy LeBron at 37 and healthy AD is going to be good enough to get it done, especially with that monster that they've created in Brooklyn. Do they have to go add another piece this offseason now?
I think they got to figure out where they want to go with this roster and probably need to make some fairly significant changes. Now, the problem is they don't have a ton of assets. Like, they don't have draft picks because they sent all of them to New Orleans in the Anthony Davis deal. They don't have, like, premium trade pieces. Horton Tucker is going to be a free agent. You probably got to sign him. You know, Kyle Kuzma, I don't really know what his value is on the market. So I think they're in a little bit of trouble. And then you just talk about Anthony Davis, and he's not really built to make it through a full season healthy. Like, he just never does. Last year in the bubble, it worked out for them. But his track record of being in the NBA is that he's going to get banged up. And I think, especially with LeBron getting older, they do have some potential problems on the horizon.
It felt like last night that the only reason Anthony Davis was on that court for 5 minutes and 25 seconds is so that he could show the world, I'm sincerely injured. Like, I'm not just being soft. You know, after Charles called him street clothes two nights earlier, I wasn't the only one that thought this, but heading into last night's game, I was like, I doubt he's healthy enough to play, but he's 100% going to try to play just so people will see, oh, he really couldn't play. Let's stop it with the jokes. Is in your mind, is that more or less what happened last night?
I mean, I guess. Like, I've had that injury. I had it. Like, I suffered that injury last June 1st. I did it on the tennis court. And let me tell you, that's not going to heal in a matter of 3-4 days. Like, it just does not happen. Now, I'm not a world-class athlete, but that injury, like, I know how it feels when you try to make lateral movements, when you try to make sudden movements. You cannot play basketball with that injury. Like, it's just, it takes time. It takes weeks to get to the point where you can actually, like, explode and move without feeling like the muscle that connects your leg to your body is literally going to fall off. And that, to try to play under those circumstances was insane. And maybe it was all for show, but I'll tell you, just watching it, it made me very uncomfortable because I had a pretty good idea of how he felt out there. And it was just looked like every time he tried to do anything, it just looked like it really, really hurt.
I'm talking to Dan Wolkin from USA Today. I want to move on to the Grizzlies because what's happening in Atlanta right now is impressive, interesting, and possibly relatable. Like Atlanta had with Trae Young, an all-star level, young, uniquely talented guard, the Grizzlies have that in Ja Morant. We could debate who will be better long-term, but like Trae is amazing and Ja seems like he's got a chance to be. The mindset here in Memphis has, for the past couple of years, at least seemed like they're willing to limit the present in the spirit of trying to maximize the future. In other words, Ja's rookie year, they'd have been better if they just kept Mike Conley. But they said, no, let's move on from Mike Conley and let's get, you know, assets and you know, better prepare us for the future as opposed to better prepare us for this season. Middle of the season last season, they moved Jay Crowder for a hurt player. By definition, let's limit the now, be willing to do it, in the spirit of maybe this will make us better in the future. Is there a lesson in Atlanta that it's okay to push a little bit and say, you know what, like, let's not mortgage our future, but we've got this uniquely gifted young guard. Let's try to actually do something, even if it's risk our future a little bit. Let's try to do something now to give him a better shot to succeed and advance in the playoffs now. Should the Grizzlies be thinking along the lines of what Atlanta did a year ago?
Yeah, I totally see the parallel. You know, I think one of the smart things that Atlanta did, even though they went out and signed a bunch of guys as free agents last offseason, they did not really tie themselves to, like, potentially bad contracts. The Bogdanovich deal was, like, 4 years, $18 million a year, which honestly now looks like maybe one of the best deals in the NBA. Like, the way he's overperforming that deal. The Gallinari deal was a lot of money. It was like $20 million per, but it was only 2 years guaranteed, and the third is like a $5 million guarantee that you can get rid of really quickly if you want to get out of that deal. You know, and then the other ones were all pretty short-term deals. So I in some ways, I actually think the Hawks and the Grizzlies are in similar situations. The difference being, obviously, that Atlanta just won a playoff series, but I think they're in similar situations in that you've got big decisions coming up on young guys, because with both of these teams, and like happens with every team that's young that starts to get good, is that it gets expensive really fast. Like in Atlanta, John Collins is a restricted free agent. They didn't come to an agreement because he wanted basically a full max. So we'll see what happens there. They're going to have to extend Trey, and then the next year after that, they're going to have to extend DeAndre Hunter. The Memphis team is going to get really expensive. Like, Jaren Jackson is coming up for a deal, then Ja's going to come up for a deal, and then, you know, I think Dylan Brooks is a free agent after next year, I believe, or maybe he's got one more after that. But the point is, like, you have to start making decisions about, you know, do you look at keeping all those guys, or do you look at packaging guys? How do you assess them in the future? Do you, you know, try to make a play for the next disgruntled star? That's, to me, the interesting thing about where both of those teams are. I think with Memphis, what's really interesting is, like, do you believe Jaren Jackson is going to be an all-star player? I think that's what it comes down to. Like, if you have a conviction that he's going to be an all-star player, then I think maybe you can afford to be a little more patient and just kind of work around the edges of that roster. I am not convinced he's going to be an all-star. In fact, I'm probably down on him relative to the consensus. If I were running the team, I would look to use him as a chip to get, like, a real star player in there, because I do think his value's, like, pretty premium. But, you know, if you sort of just build around those two and he just becomes kind of a guy who you'd want as your third-best player on a really good team, then you've probably missed your window to really upgrade.
Joel Embiid is injured. The Hawks are rolling. Is Atlanta going to get to the Eastern Conference Finals?
I mean, if Joel Embiid can't play, then I think they've got a really good chance. You know, if he's playing and he's limited and is kind of just gimping around through the series, then I think they could certainly win, and it'll probably be a long series. Like, if he's playing and it's Embiid who's playing like Embiid, then Philadelphia's clearly the solid favorite. But, you know, Atlanta's been undervalued by everybody all year long. And in some ways I get it, because they started off terribly under Lloyd Pierce, and they had all these injuries throughout the season. I mean, you just never really saw, like, what their team really was supposed to be, because they just had so many guys in and out, and for long periods of time some of these injuries were. So now they're as healthy as they've been all year. They've obviously got a tremendous amount of confidence, and Trey is carving people up. So, like, why not?
Talking to Dan Walken here from USA Today. Outside of the NBA, probably the dominant story of the week, Mike Krzyzewski announces a retirement plan. Duke names John Shire the de facto coach in waiting, or, you know, he is the coach in waiting. It's similar to what North Carolina did without the coach in waiting thing. Roy Williams is stepping away. Somebody who played for him and has been on his bench will take over. Can you envision both of these working well, or are you skeptical?
I think the odds of both of them working well are probably low. You know, it's just tough. Like, I think John Shire is going to have one of the toughest jobs in all of college sports. And I think it's good for him that they're handing off the job over a year transition period in a way, and it'll give people a chance to kind of get used to the idea of him replacing Kay. And I'm sure Kay is still going to be around and all that stuff. But, like, the Duke brand on its own is hard to really measure, because Mike Krzyzewski's been the head coach there as long as I've been alive. I believe he became the head coach in 1980. That's the year I was born. So there's just no context for Duke basketball without Mike Krzyzewski. We've seen North Carolina without Roy Williams. We've seen it without Dean Smith. And, you know, the baseline for North Carolina, I mean, it can go wrong, as Matt Doherty showed us, but it's still a pretty high baseline for North Carolina. We don't have any idea what the baseline is for Duke when you don't have Mike Krzyzewski. But, you know, John Shire, like, if he's ready for this for real and he can still get a very high quality of player, they certainly have all the support and the facilities and the financial resources to make it happen. But I do think it's tough what both of those guys are going to try to do.
Wrapping up here with Dan Walken from USA Today. Last thing before I let you go, another big story that broke on the same day as the Krzyzewski news. Bob Baffert has been suspended by Churchill Downs for 2 years. I saw a clip. I can't remember exactly what the person said when discussing Baffert, but it was more or less, we thought this guy was the Babe Ruth of horse racing. Turns out he might be the Jose Canseco of horse racing. I think Jose Canseco is probably not the perfect one. I'd go like Babe Ruth. He might be Barry Bonds if you wanted to do that one. But either way, you know, when we talked about this after the initial positive test, it was like, how much does this ding his legacy? Is there any doubt now he'll never be thought of the way he was thought of, say, 6 months ago?
Yeah. When you get suspended to the point where you can't run in the Kentucky Derby for 2 years, that's a direct shot at right at Bob Baffert and at what they believe is an accumulation of positive tests that bring suspicion to his entire operation. And, you know, certainly the Baffert side of it is, you know, they've gotten a little bit unlucky. It's contamination. You know, it's this, it's that. It's been, you know, more carelessness than maliciousness. That's fine, but most of the other people who've won these races, and pretty much all of them, have been able to avoid getting popped for these drug tests, and yet here you are, and you've had a several in a row, including the Kentucky Derby. So, I still think, like, once this ends, he's probably still going to win big races, and you can't take away a lot of the Triple Crown wins that he's had, but there's no doubt that it complicates how he will be viewed forever, and I'm sure that for him is probably very difficult to deal with.
That is Dan Walken from USA Today. Make sure you're reading him, usatoday.com. He's on Twitter, at Dan Walken. Thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend.
You too. See you.
All right. Bye-bye. That's Dan Walken from USA Today. When we come back, the Grizzlies met with the media today. Zach Kleiman talked to the media today after getting his contract extension announced last night. We'll walk through some of the interesting things that were said next. You're listening to the Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The God Killer, this Tokyo and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack versus death gun on the car dealer. Just bought a demon, I'm screaming about the car dealer. The last temptation of Mike, but I'm a God
killer. The warm months have finally arrived. As a country, we're getting back to normal in lots of ways. Pool parties are safe again, according to the CDC. Fans are back in arenas, in stadiums. You're the type of person who likes to enjoy these things in life while sipping a drink. Make a New Amsterdam Vodka. It's a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. 5 times distilled, 4 unparalleled smoothness, filtered 3 times to create a soft finish. As I'm sure you know by now, it is so smooth, you can drink it straight. And it really is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store. That's a fact. Can't get caught by these spies. I see them sometimes when I walk in, Big Bet Bennett. Spies. They're like, all right, let's see. Let's see if this dude walks the walk. Let's see what he walks out of here with. Case of New Amsterdam Vodka. Yo, just give me the case. So you need a bottle? No, I need the case. Give me the whole case. You don't buy one roll of toilet paper at a time. You buy several. Treat New Amsterdam Vodka the same way. Go get a case at a time if you're really about that life. They got flavored vodkas. If you're into flavored vodkas. And if you're on a gluten-free diet, understand that New Amsterdam makes a gluten-free vodka. It's got a brown label on it. If you don't see it in your favorite store, ask them to get it for you. They can. Next time you're in a restaurant, bar, liquor store, request it by name. New Amsterdam Vodka, pour your soul out. On the web, newamsterdamspirits.com. Jeff Calkins takes pictures of dogs. He's going to join me in the next segment. Got a Dateline preview coming up during Dinner to Go, but right now, 4 stories I'd like to discuss.
4 notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's 4 notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
With the Grizzlies season now officially in the books, they met with the media today for the final time before going home or on vacation or doing whatever it is they wanted to. They don't have to play basketball again in an organized fashion anytime soon. So Zach Kleiman is among those who spoke. He, of course, runs the franchise now. And congrats to him. Got a nice contract extension last night. You know, obviously deserving of that. He's been incredible running this franchise since he took the reins and has, like, been the primary decision maker. He's surrounded himself with good people, so it's not just him, but he is the primary decision maker. He has he's largely responsible for what we're watching right now, and seems like a smart move to me to get him extended, taken care of, keep him in charge. He was unsurprisingly asked about Justice Winslow's future, because the team does have a $13 million option on him. And you're not going to believe this, but he declined to get into the specifics.
Okay.
I could argue it anyway, either way. We've talked about it before. At this point, I don't think I would exercise the team option. I just don't think I would.
I mean, I don't think I would either.
Like, I would look for something else, or maybe try to get Justice back on a smaller deal. Like, if you decline the option, I'll put it this way. If you decline the option and Justice goes into free agency, nobody's giving him $13 million a year right now.
No, absolutely not.
So, like, why you give him $13 million a year right now? Like, just say we decline the option, but we're interested in bringing you back. If they are interested in bringing him back, you probably get him for a smaller number. And if not, like, let him go. You got $13 million to spend. Who cares? You know, we talk about the nice job that Zach has done, and that remains true. But the Winslow thing seems like a miss. Like, you know, maybe it was injury induced. Maybe it just was a miss. But as Bobby Marks said yesterday, it feels like it's run its course. And so I don't know what they'll do, but I'm pretty sure what I would do, and that's decline the option and then go from there. Doesn't mean I would totally be against him coming back, but I don't think I'd bring him back on the $13 million. Not after what we've seen since he started playing for this team. Ja Morant met with the media as well and said that he felt like with the Grizzlies playing so many games consecutively on national television, because it's five in the playoffs, but then two play-in games, and then that last Golden State game of the regular season was also big, important, nationally televised game. So the Grizzlies played eight consecutive games in a pretty short amount of time on national television, which is obviously more than they played on national TV all season long. And he said, quote, "I feel like we opened a lot of eyes," and I do believe that that's true. You know, people have for a while now been watching Ja Morant highlights, but they haven't been watching Ja Morant games. They've been watching Grizzlies games. I mean, only the diehards outside of this market really do that. So I do think Ja's right. They open a lot of eyes. And I will be surprised if the Grizzlies' national television schedule isn't increased to some degree next season. Not to the extent of the Lakers or the Brooklyn Nets, but however many nationally televised games they had this regular season, I bet you they'll have more next season. And on the subject of Ja, Zach Kleiman did say, and I thought this was, I don't want to say bold, but, you know, he went straight for it. He said next year Ja Morant is going to be an all-star. Would you bet on that?
Yes. I think a lot of becoming an all-star also has, you got to obviously have the numbers, right? But you also got to have, like, the hype a little bit. Like, you got to be, like, a known commodity, and he's that now.
He is definitely a known commodity. He certainly has all-star potential, and if Ja Morant can be an all-star in his year 22, age 22 year, that would be obviously tremendous and a step in the right direction. But Zach put it out there. Ja Morant is going to be an all-star next season. Kyle Anderson had an interesting quote. He was asked about the future, and he said, "I want to be a part of this going forward."
Good.
And also said, pretty much everybody wants to be a part of the future here. Like, quote, "We have something special here." And I do think that's not hard to pick up on. Whether it's photos from the plane, last night's was hilarious, or just on the bench, on the court, they do seem like a group of guys that, by and large, seem to like each other.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pretend they're all best friends. I don't know that they're not, but I just, you know, 15 people in one group, they're not all going to love each other and be best friends.
Sure.
But they all seem like, if we were trying to rank chemistry among NBA teams, I bet the Grizzlies would rank pretty high.
I think so, too. A lot of younger guys, like, you know, a lot of them around the same age.
Yeah, like, yeah. I remember when Frank Kaminsky was a rookie in Charlotte, and they were playing here, and he was doing a radio show, like hosting one for SiriusXM.
Yeah, he came in studio. I got a picture with him.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I've known Frank since he was in college because he was on some really high-level Wisconsin teams. So I was around that team a lot. And I was like, yo, man, if you're in my studio, so why don't you just come kick it with me for about an hour? And he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And we just started. We were just talking like Jeff and I often talk. Like, we're on radio, but we're really just talking.
Right.
And one of the things I remember is he was like, dude, it's so weird for me because I've never had teammates who are married or have children. I don't have anything in common with my teammates. Like, we leave practice and they are going home to their families and I'm going back to my apartment to play video games by myself. He's like, it's just a weird, you know, I'm getting used to it, but it is weird when you've got different, vastly different age groups on a basketball
sure.
team. Because one guy is going home to his family and another guy's going out to the club. You know, most friend groups don't operate like that. Like, as you get older, you'll realize this. The adults you hang out with tend to have a lot of stuff in common that you have. They have a lot of things in common with you. Like, you know, the parents we hang out with most pre-pandemic and even now for the most part, people who have young kids
mm-hmm.
because we have young kids. So the kids play together and the parents hang out. And so I say all that to say the Grizzlies, they have a lot of, as you put it, younger guys who are pretty similar in age. And I do think that the front office has drafted consistently a certain type of personality. Like it character, it matters to them. And so when you consider all that, it shouldn't be that surprising that they seem to have good chemistry. And what Kyle Anderson said today seemed to underline that. Yeah, I want to be a part of the future. Pretty much everybody here wants to be a part of the future. Obviously, that's not possible given the makeup of the NBA. But there's some nice building blocks here to stack on top of each other. And so we'll go into the offseason and see exactly how they get stacked.
Story number two.
Scary moment in AAA baseball last night. The Norfolk Tides and the Durham Bulls were playing in Durham, North Carolina. And a pitcher named Tyler Zombro took a line drive to the head. Have you watched it yet?
Yep.
Ooh. Did you watch? Because the main clip that like ESPN is comfortable using.
Oh, okay. So I don't think I've seen the.
So the main clip people are using now is like, they'll show him get hit in the head, and they'll show him drop, and then they cut away to the outfield and other players reacting. But the highlight that was circulating last night on Twitter like focused on him, and he actually started convulsing on the mound while he was lying on the ground. It looked not good at all. Like, oh no, did I just watch a pitcher die?
I'm looking at it now.
With a fastball to the head.
Ugh.
And the good news is that late last night, they announced he was in stable condition. He remains hospitalized today and is undergoing further treatment and observation. But you know, I'm honestly surprised you don't see that more often.
Mm-hmm. I just watched it. Dang.
The convulsing?
Yes.
Ugh.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah, like, it's easier to watch now. I'll be honest with you.
Because
you know he's okay. I didn't watch it last night. And I'm not usually bothered by that kind of stuff. Like, I can usually see it. Like, you know, some random website will be like, rapper shot live on Instagram. I'm like, okay, let me see this. And then I'll watch somebody get shot live on Instagram. I do it all the time, actually. And last night, for some reason, this clip, I was like, because it sounded bad, and then people described it, and at that time, you didn't know if he was okay. And I was like, I don't think I want to see that. But today, once you learn, it appears he's going to be okay. I was like, okay, let me watch it. It's still tough to watch. I got through it. But it's a lot easier to watch when you know he didn't die 20 minutes later.
Mm.
But just a scary, scary deal. So, you know, who knows about his future in baseball? I imagine that's pretty down on the list of things that are important to he and his family right now. But, again, I saw people on Twitter last night saying this is why pitchers need to wear protective headgear. And, you know, I guess we'll probably get there at some point. You know, first base coaches and third base coaches wear batting helmets now. They didn't used to do that. But, you know, I could see both sides of that. On one hand, when stuff like this happens, you'd like to have a helmet on.
Of course.
On the other hand, this almost never happens. But it can happen. But it almost never happens. So, thankfully, this seems like it's going to end in not the very worst way. But still, if you've got a stomach that you think can take it, it's a hell of a highlight. Tyler Zambro, line drive to the head last night. That game was stopped in the eighth inning. As soon as this happened, they called the game because they didn't know if he was going to
live. Right, right.
And today's game also postponed just because people are still, I guess, a little shook up.
Story number three.
So the Memorial Tournament is happening in Dublin, Ohio this week, and round two was today. And apparently fans were heckling Bryson DeChambeau, like as he's stepping up to a tee box or, you know, reading a green for 5 minutes. They're saying, let's go, Brooksy. Let's go, Brooksy.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to aggravate him by referencing Brooks Koepka. And Bryson DeChambeau doesn't seem to be laughing it off because reportedly he is pointing out these fans to tournament officials and they're being removed from the golf course. Is that over the line?
Dude, he is so dumb for this.
You're exactly right.
He is a moron. Here's why. He is going to be called Brooksy forever.
Now it never goes away.
Every tournament. You go throw out everybody at every tournament you play. It's never going away.
Yeah, now you can, now this is once you let it be known that something bothers you.
Exactly.
Now that's the thing people are going to do to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess it could go away if people just say, "Well, God, they really do kick people out. I don't want to get kicked out. I pay good money for these tickets." But once you if you're Bryson DeChambeau, you just got to pretend you don't hear it. Or laugh about it. Make a joke about it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.